What is the siman to know the after everything is said and done, the 24 books? It's Chanukah. Always a good way to remember. What is Chanukah? It's an acronym. Chanukah is Haris Chanukah, Ches, Nun, Vav, Chaf, Hey. Chanukah, the holiday, our next festival. The next festival in Jewish calendar is Thanksgiving.
Today is the Yom
Tov of Matasyo. Do you say Hal on Thanksgiving? Matasyo? So Chanukah is the next Jewish festival. And after Chanukah, after Thanksgiving comes Chanukah. Okay, so Chanukah is coming around the corner. Chanukah is spelled Ches, Nun, Vav, Chof. Hey, what does that stand for? Ches Nivim, Vav Kisuvim, and Hey Megillas. Hey, there's no Mem. Megillas. The first letter Chanukah is Ches, and the next letter is Nun. You are Ches Nivim, eight prophets. Okay, eight Sefarim of Nevi'im. What are they? Yeshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim, Yeshaya, Yecheskel, Yirmiah, Shreyos. Ches Nevi'im. Then comes Vav Kisuvim. What are the Vav Kisuvim? Tehillim, Iyov, Mishlei, Divrei Hayamim, Tehillim. One more time. Iyov, Mishlei, Tehillim, Divrei Hayamim. I said that Divrei Hayamim, Daniel, and Nehemiah, and Ezra counts as one. Okay? Six Kesuvim. And then comes the five Megillas. Okay? And then that takes you to 19. And what else? Chamisha Chumshei Torah. For a grand total of 24. This is the Masorah. There are 24 books. I mean, many more Chazal that tell us the significance of them. 24, Kalam. In Sefer Yeshaya, there's a listing of 24 pieces of jewelry, or 20 pieces of jewelry that a Kalam wears.
The accessories
of a Kalam are 24. Today, I don't think a Kalam wears 24 pieces of jewelry. But in the time of the Torah, that's what a kala wore. Kala wore, there were 24 pieces of jewelry that a kala wears. Vahi ki chalois Moshe, when Moshe finished, the Gemara makes a drasha, that Torah is compared, the Talmud Chacham is compared to a kala. And just like a kala, b'yom chupasa, she wears 24 accessories, 24 pieces of jewelry. A real Talmud Chacham has to know the 24 books of Tanakh. What is Nogei Halacha L'Maaseh? Can you make a bracha? When do you make a bracha on a person of a Talmud Chacham? Shecholak mechachmasoi lebasar v'dam. It's a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem kei melech olam. Shecholak mechachmasoi lebasar v'dam. If you have a Talmud Chacham, he knows shas on his fingertips. But if you ask him a pasuk in Malachi, he'll stammer and stutter. Can you make a bracha on him? I don't think so. Okay? If Chazal said Talmud Chacham has to know the 24 books, a Kala has to know the 24 books of Tanakh, you cannot make a bracha on a person who does not know inside out, who cannot pass the Chidon HaTanakh with flying colors. Okay? If you can't wake him up in the middle of the night and give him the questions of the Chidon HaTanakh, and he can't answer them in a second, I do not believe you can make a bracha shecholak mechachmasoi lebasar v'dam. Why do I have the chutzpah to say that? Because many places can say that you cannot make a bracha, make this bracha on a person unless he also knows, this is where it gets very testy today, he also knows Sifrei Kabbalah. Let's say you have, say, a person, Talmud Chacham, who taki knows Tanakh, mamish bal peh, and he knows Shas. He can pick, he can ask him any daf in Shas, 2,711 daf he mastered in his sleep, Gemara Rashi Tosfos, and he knows Shulchan Aruch, and he knows Medrash Baal Peh. He knows it all. But if you ask him, tell me a Zohar, where does it say this in the Zohar? And he has no clue. Now we're talking over every single Kabbalah set. Let's talk the basics. You know, everyone here, Meir, he knows Zohar, he learns every night. happens every night, Zohar and Sayat. So let's say he doesn't know some of the basic Zoyas. Can you make a bracha upon him? Many Parsim say you can't. You have to also know Sifrei Toras Hanisto. So that disqualifies a lot of people. Because a lot of people don't know. They don't know this. This is not what they do. They don't know this stuff. They know a little bit here and there. They can translate for you the Brich Shnei. They can translate Gavna. Okay, they can translate for you some of the famous pieces of Zoya, but they're not really a mumche in the Sifra, etc. You cannot make a bracha according to not all opinions. Machlek Sapois can be a person that we've had some outstanding Talmudic Chachamim in the last number of generations that were bikin muflogim in Taras Hanigla. Mamish, they knew Shas literally about that. We're talking about minds that are just beyond belief. And we know we have these type of people that existed that even today. Maybe we'll find people like this today. But Kabbalah is not their thing. Torah Sanistar is just not there. They're not knowledgeable in this. Can you make a bracha upon them? Shecholak, Mechach Mosoi, Lebosar Vedan. So you go look in the big books, and some say no, that's all included in going. But one thing is for sure, if you have a Rei Machlaikis with regard to Torah Sanistar, it is a Dabar Pashut Ad Ma'od, that if you don't know the 24 books of Tanakh on your fingertips, you can't make a bracha on such a person. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, one of the biggest things Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that people, I know everyone appreciates, is his knowledge of Tanakh is scary. His knowledge of Tanakh is really, really scary. And like it really, really, really comes out is when people ask him, they have a lot of sperm, but they have so many sperm of like questions and answers. And people ask him about davening, Nusach HaTzvila. A lot of sperm like this on the whole Nusach HaTzvila. And they ask him, what does this word mean? And without blinking an eyelash, he tells you a pasuk. What did he just say? But that's a pasuk. Where is that pasuk? Pasuk in Ezra. Pasuk in Malachi. Pasuk over here. Pasuk, like you never heard of it. Pasuk in Divrei, you never heard. And you look at that pasuk, and you read the pasuk, and you learn the context, and then you go back into the siddur. Wow. Now it's like so pashut what it means. What it means. You go your whole life, and you say a certain part of davening, and you have no clue what you're saying. Yeah, they translate very nice in the interlinear siddur. What it means. But if you don't know the context of where it's coming from, you have no clue. There are a lot of things like this. Yeah.
A quick anecdote about the Kabbalah. The guy I was working with once asked me about Kabbalah. And I said, it's like the mafia. The ones who say they're in it, they're not in it. And the ones who are in it, aren't saying.
Excellent. It's very, very good. You got it. Okay, but so over here we're dealing over here. It's an interesting number. I'm into numbers. I like numbers. Over here they have Shmoinim Count Dracula. Okay, he made an impression on me. So yeah, over here 85 Zakanim. What's the significance of the number 85? I don't know. It must be something very interesting. The number 80, what?
Peh.
Why 85 Peh? 85 is Peh. How many letters are there in Vahibin Soharim? How many letters are there in Vahibin Soharim? Got it ready. That's one of the famous. How many? 85 in Vahibin Soharim?
From the Torah.
85 letters in the it's called the Kosher Sefer Torah because she knows more than all of us put together. Yeah. 85 letters in Vayehi, yes, is that correct, Mary? There are 85 letters in Vayehi bin Soho Arayin, and that makes the Sefer Torah kosher. If you have a Sefer Torah where the whole Sefer Torah wore out, it was Bola. Okay. Okay. You have a Sefer Torah and let me just write, I have over my little quintress on the numbers. 85. Yep, she's right. You see, Tamara, she knows exactly what she's saying. There are 85 letters in Vayehi, in the parish of Vayehi, bin Soya Ha'arayim, and surrounded by upside down nuns. And the naftamina is if you have a Sefer Torah, and all of the letters have worn out, but there are still 85 letters that are intact, this Sefer Torah still retains the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah, and it has to be treated with the same sanctity. So everything that she just said is on the mark. So you take that, and take a look over here what it says over here, Shmoinim v'chamisha zekeinim. So I want to suggest to you the reason why it was Minash Shemaim. Nothing is a coincidence in the Gemara, in the Mamari Chazal. Why was it there were 85 people, zekeinim? We're talking about zekeinim. Each one of these people, you can imagine, is like Moshe Rabbeinu. They're coming to debate what is the shleimus of Tanakh. The shleimus of Tanakh has to be 24 books. That's the Messiah. That is a Messiah 24. So the question over here is, what are the 24 books? You know, I mean, you know, you got to be very careful when you say about this, but I heard Shnei Lam talk about this, there's a lot of insight into this, is that, you know, there are many books that are, you got to be very careful, you know, by the Goyim, they have their I don't even want to say the words, their Bible, and in their Bible they have a lot of books. So we right away, off the bat, we right away say every single thing about what they've added is pure, unadulterated, sheker, apikursis, burn it. That's not necessarily true. It's true for that there's a lot of apikursis. There are a lot of books there that are real apikursis.
You're talking about apocryphal books?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Part of their Bible. Not every book of the Apocrypha is apikursis. And in fact, some of those books are pretty good. Why then are they not part of our Tanakh? It's because it just didn't make the cut. It was written with, it very well, he has a lot of Torah on this, by Schneer Lyman, Rabbi Dachlis, is a rabbi also. He knows more than Moshe Rabbeinu.
For example,
what?
Sefer Ben Siri.
You know, Ben Siri is, I don't know if Ben Siri is part of the Apocrypha.
Why
not? It's not part of it's part of, it's a book of Chochmah. Like, let's say, even the Maccabees.
And it's quoted half a dozen times.
In the Gemara, right? So Sefer Ben Siri though is a little bit different.
No,
it's not a record, a book. It's not a. It's not a narrative, right? There's no narrative. It's just a collection of ideas. But like there are certain, like let's say talk about the Maccabees,
yeah.
The Sefer on Hanukkah. Okay, there are different titles for these books. Different the Sefer Hamakabim is, I don't remember all the different titles. There are different versions. And these are real, it's a Megillah Antiochus. So why is it Megillah Antiochus the sixth Megillah? Why don't we have Megillah Antiochus instead of Megillah Esther? Let's take out Megillah Esther and instead in this place put into the Tanakh Megillah Antiochus. Well, there's a whole list, there's a whole bunch of other books that are very interesting books and they're not apikursis. We right away, oh, it's, you know, it's right away, we were so burnt.
Write it off.
Not so fast. It's true. There are a lot of books that are pure apikursis. That's no question about it. But there are certain things that really were candidates to be from the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. And Chazal decided not to put them in because they found problems. Look, Sefer Yechezkel. The Gemara says the Farish. Sefer Yechezkel came very, very close to not being included in Tanakh. Because Sefer Yechezkel is full of psukim which appear to, at first glance, totally contradict Halacha. And the Gemara talks about this. And they did not want to include Sefer Yechezkel in the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. Even though that was from the Nevi'im. That was a Sefer that was meant to be part of the Nevi'im. They wanted to delete it. It should not be part of the count. If it's not part of the council, isn't there a tradition in Sinai, there are 24 books, so what are you going to replace it with? Well, there are other candidates. There are other things that could have been selected to be included, and it could very well be that some of these books have been lost from us. They disappeared. They just disappeared from, they just got, because it was not part of the Chof Dalet Tanakh, they were not preserved with the same degree of devotion, and they just disappeared. Look, there's a Megillah, Rashi quotes every so often, there's a Megillah, there's a Sefer on the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. There's a sefer that describes, actually they found this in the Dead Sea Scrolls. They actually, very, very, probably the most interesting thing they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, on the Megillah, called Megillas, and Rashi actually quotes it. Rashi, in the beginning of Parashas, the Trumot Tzadah, actually says that it's in the Megillah. I don't know where this Rashi is. In the Megillah that basically presents the layout and the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash. There is a Sefer. And in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they have it. One of the books is, and it's very fascinating what it says there. So why isn't that one of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh? And it was passed down from generation to generation. What happened? I don't know. Oh, yeah.
I think the reason is because they're more indigenous with Kedusha. It might be his.
So that's the question. So, and Megillah says there.
It says what Haman thought. So that's the point.
Oh, Ruach HaKodesh. Right. Ruach HaKodesh.
These are all history books.
Right. There were a lot of books, and some of them have been preserved, some not, that appeared to be written with Ruach HaKodesh, and it took the Chachamim, who themselves had Ruach HaKodesh, to make that determination to finally codify the final version of Tanakh, which today we have as a big 24. And you'll say, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Is it after they finalized it's going to be 24, so now we go backwards and we make all of these drushes, there are 24 tachshitin for a kala? Or was it, you know, there's a Mesoira, Menash Shemayim, there has to be 24, and they have to work backwards to fit the 24 books into this number? I don't know. Or being that it's Ruach HaKodesh, they really go together. I see you have contraband over there. The most valuable commodity in this side of ocean, of the ocean. Ocean of paper cups? Who would ever imagine?
Yeah, right.
It's not a joke. Okay. Thank you for saving us.
This member of the Gemara is, they are Eretz Yisrael Amorim.
These are Eretz Yisrael Amorim. Okay, that's right. So who's part of the count? You see, Meir said it was very controversial. That who's making the decision? That was the controversy with the Mari Beirav and the renewal of Smicha. So the Rambam says, if you take together all the Talmidei Chachamim of the generation and they all come together and they mask him who deserves to receive Smicha, you reinstitute the Koyach of Smicha. So what was the problem? Why didn't it survive the Smicha? The people in Tzvas, they decided that they were the Gedolei Yisrael. And they left out, they treated the Talmidei Chachamim, Yerushalayim, as second-class citizens. So they were insulted. And that's why, to a very large degree, the smicha, that was who's making the decision. You're not inclusive. Okay, today that's the big buzzword today in American society. Inclusiveness, equity. You know, someone told me very recently that in medical school now, because of this new mishagas of equity and being inclusive, they're not taking lahachis children of doctors. It used to be years ago, all the years that you apply to, it's very hard to get into a good medical school. It's very, very hard. So it used to be in all the good medical schools that if your parents are doctors, if you apply to Harvard Medical School and your mother is a Harvard doctor or your father's a Harvard doctor, it automatically puts you in a much, much better position to be accepted. Because, you know, alumni, children of alumni, and there's a lot to it. It's not just, we live now in a new America. There's a new world order, equity, inclusion. It's not just, for every white, you have to have two transgenders and a black and a Hispanic and an alien from Mars. Even amongst the people who would fit into the criteria, no, if your parents were doctors, so we have to give someone else whose parents were not doctors. That's how far it goes. So here, Meir is making a point, who's making the decision here? Meir is coming to take this modern concept of equity and inclusion and fairness. Who is making the decision of if we should include Megillas Esther in the Chof Dalit Sifrei Tanakh? So Meir is saying over here that these are people moans from Eretz Yisrael from Bavel. I don't know, he's making a good point. But let's read this Chazal, Shemoinim, we have a lot of Chidushim over here. Come, what?
You have the Nevi'im. Nevi'im were an actual Shul, they weren't.
Well, this is taking place after the Nevu'ah came to an end already.
No, it didn't come to an end totally.
Not totally. This between the Megillas, it's not really clear when the decision was made. Just because the miracle of Purim took place before the Bayis Sheni, and there was still Nevu'ah through Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And we always say Malachi died 40 years into the Bayis Sheni. It does not mean in any way that it was already decided that Megillas Esther is part of the canon. Good. Yeah. It's part of the canon. It was not necessarily. It could very well be that even though the miracle was celebrated. They celebrated Purim immediately, and even that's not so clear exactly. It's not so clear what that means exactly. What exactly was Purim? How exactly was it celebrated? Let's say a year after Purim, 10 years after Purim, 20 years after Purim. It's not so clear how Purim evolved. Purim definitely, the way it was celebrated and it was performed, evolved over time. Now, what about the Megillah? Look, Hanukkah's coming up. So Hanukkah, people study Megillah Santiyoches and the Sefer HaMakabim. Makabim 1, Makabim 2, Megillah Santiyoches have books. You know, and you should know there are Kehilos, believe it or not, that actually we don't see this in our community because we live in the global melting pot, but there are Kehilos that on Shabbos Hanukkah, they lane before Kriya Satorah, the same way you lane Megillah Asruos, Megillah Shir HaShirim and Koheles on Shabbos before Kriya Satorah, they lay Megillah Antiochus.
30 years ago, Hebron sent out a direct mail Megillah Antiochus.
They should lay what?
They
sent out
the people. You know?
They sent out what?
Like they sent out the spheres and all the calendars.
Okay, but you don't see people today in our community reading. Maybe there is. I don't know. I don't, maybe it was lost. You don't see people going today and reading Megillas Antiochus. But you should know there were Kehilos that did it. Why don't we? Because it's not one. The Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. It could very well be that Megillas Antiochus was written by very holy people with Ruach HaKodesh. It didn't make it. It did not make it into the Chof Dalet. That took place way, way late. That took place 200 years after into the Bayis Sheni. So it was already too late. At that point in time, already it was accepted that there was a Chasima. I don't know. We don't really know the things that we really do not know, because a lot of things were still, a lot of halacha, and things were still being finalized, even after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So at what point in time did the Chachamim make a decision that Megillas Esther should be included in the canon? It's not so clear what they decided immediately. They wrote Megillas Esther.
There is the only sefer not quoted at all in the Dead Sea Scrolls. It could be that they didn't want to include it, or it could be that it wasn't included
right.
At that meeting.
Who was the one? That's net, no one knows who's the collector. Who was the collector in the Dead Sea Scrolls? Who was the Balabas? Were they religious people? Were they Sumerians? Were they this? Were they that? No one knows. That's the big, big mystery. That's the big mystery of what exactly. Okay, so let's see. Shmoina v'chamisha zekeinu mechem shloisha shloishim v'chama nevin. Okay, so we have over here a prophet. So that means we're going in the early time. Early time, during before the chasima of prophecy. The hoyu mitzta'arin. They didn't get a good night's sleep to make this decision if they should include Megillas Esther al hadavar hazeh im lichtov Megillas Esther. Now over here in the brackets, the editor, I don't know, I don't look up the Gechazal, you have to trust the editor here. He put in some very bold words. I have no doubt that he took this from one of the Rishonim on this Gemara. They put in, the question was, should he even write it? It's not a question, it's not, it says, but it already was written. It didn't, right. That Tichlet Esther, because I don't know what it means over here. In the Lichlet, the editor put these words in. You have to go see where the editor added the, what he took these, where he took these words from. Other days, it says in the Pasuk, Elah HaMitzvahs, Asher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe. These are the Mir Hashem Kmir De Moshe. Eilu HaMitzvah Shenetz Tavim Yidhi Moshe, Kach Omar Lonu Moshe, No one is allowed to add to the canon. Mordechai and Esther they're making demands that we should include Megillas Esther in the canon. Loizazu Misham, they did not leave from there. Noisim, the Noisim Bedavar, 85 Zakanim, they fought it out. Ad sheheir hakadosh baruch hu esenehem umatzu oisa smach ledavar, until they found a remes, they found a source for this question. Ksuva batar v'nevim uksuvim hadohu d'chsev, until they found smach ledavar, they found a raya. All three, they found three separate rayas in tar v'nevim uksuvim hadohu d'chsev l'inim l'chemes amolek v'im Hashem u'moshe Hashem said to Moshe. Kisoyv Zois Zikaron Basefer. The word makes a dinated drasha. Zois is Torah. Kemodis Seymar, Vizois Ha Torah Asher Son Moshe. Lefne Bnei Yishol. Zikaron Eilu Hanavim. Vayikasev Sefer Zikaron Lefonov Ligirei Hashem. That's our sugi. Okay, that's why this Maimon Chazal is being cited here on the bottom of the page, because what it says, this sentence is what it says in Parashas B'Shalach. So Zikaroin is a code word for the prophets, because here it says at the end of Malachi, at the end of all of the Nevi'im, the last of the Nevi'im, it says Vayikasev Sefer Zikaroin, and the last one it says Bas Sefer Elu HaKisuvim Shenemar Umamar Esther Kiyam Es Divrei HaPurim Ho'ela V'Nichtov, it was written Bas Sefer in Kisuvim. The Chomesh Megillos is a part, this is very interesting, this itself is a very big chiddush. Because if you wouldn't know better, you would say that the Chomesh Megillos are not part of the Kisuvim. You would say the Chomesh Megillos are a part. There's Torah, there are Nevi'im, there are Kisuvim, and there is the fourth category called the Chomesh Megillos. A Megillah is not the same thing as a Sefer. So
well,
whoever
they took till they put the Koheles in, I mean, the Gemara talks about
it. Right, even the, even some of the Nevi'im, they said in Yecheskel they didn't want it to delete, they wanted to omit. So the question over here is, Lichlo Basefer, that this is a very interesting thing in and of itself. Don't make any mistake and think that there are four categories. It's very easy to make that mistake, because the Megillahs have their own classification. There are different laws, even in how you write a Megillah. There are many different things about Megillahs that are not equivalent to the Ksuvim. Yet it says here, Beferish in this Chazal, it could be there are conflicting Mamari Chazal, is that the Ksuvim, is that the Megillahs are a chelek of Kisuvim. And because it says in Megillas Esther, V'nichtav, it shall be written by Sefer. Sefer is a code word for the Ksuvim. I mean, what a ksuva means, it's written, kosuf. So therefore, what are we taking out of this Mamre Chazal? The end of this Mamre Chazal is that this pasuk that we have just read over here, Vayikosev Sefer Zikaroin, this pasuk here, we're taking it out of context. And in addition to everything that we've learned until now about the significance of this pasuk, that if a person behaves with Yirah Shamayim, Hashem records his good deeds. In addition to our drush, is that when two Talmidei Chacham, they learn together, they have Siyata Vishmaya and the Mechadesh Chidushe Torah, which are going to be put in, to be preserved. In addition to what we just learned today about Vayikosev Sefer Zikaron Lefanov, is a remez to the writing of the Talmud Yerushalmi. Okay, this pasuk we mentioned before, the Noichin Zelo Zeba Halacha. The Gemara says explicitly that the Talmidei Chacham that are Noichim Zela Zeba Halacha are the Talmidei Chachamim Shel Eretz Yisrael. So over here it's almost like a remez to, it's almost like an instruction that it shall be written. The Talmud Yerushalmi shall be put in print. And there's Lateral, at the end of his life, he said that his greatest accomplishment, the greatest accomplishment of Art Scroll is the Talmud Yerushalmi. He said the Talmud Bavli, if he didn't do it, someone else would have done it. It would have been done. Someone would have come along. Cincino, with all respect to Cincino, I grew up on Cincino, I lived and breathed Cincino. With all respect to Cincino, it doesn't hold a candle to the Art School.
It's confusing.
Okay, it doesn't hold a candle to the Art School shots. Sorry, with all respect. With all respect to Cincino, I have a whole Cincino in the house. I lived on it. It's Baruch Hashem, if not, I wouldn't have survived the day. Art School is Art School. It's a whole different world. And so Masifta, you see on the wall there? You see on the wall there Masifta? That's really in the league by itself. The Masifta, right there. It's only in Hebrew, the Masifta. I find the Masifta to be just out of this world. There's so many different versions, different unreal. What?
Steinsaltz,
right. Steinsaltz, I agree with you. I used to have the Steinsaltz. You're right. Steinsaltz is also exceptional. You're right. Everyone, you don't need my Haskama, obviously, for all the Gedolei Yisrael. Absolutely, I have a whole shelf of the Steinsaltz tomorrow at home. And they have stuff there that no one comes to. You know, they have things here in the Steinsaltz that the other things don't hold a candle to. Okay, they have their own niche and their own koyach. Everyone has their koyach. Absolutely. You don't need my 2 cents. What people have accomplished is beyond belief. It's shocking that he passed away. I still can't even believe it. He just died like that. By Adin Steinsaltz. It's a horror how he can pass away like that. All these great people, they passed away like not. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, Rabbi Steinsaltz, Rabbi Tursky, all in COVID. Not everyone died mamish from COVID, but it's all in this tekufa. It's like, what happened? It's like hard to believe. These are the icons of Klal Yisrael. You know, the Minsk Rebbe, the whole spectrum. The whole spectrum of Klal Yisrael, in every class, is just unbelievable. It's really hard to wrap your head around this. And okay, so we are over here. This is a very so we have over that interpretation, the writing of the Talmud Yerushalmi, and now this Maamar Chazal tells us a very important yisod. Sefer this pasuk vayikasev sefer zikaron is the words which capture the writing, the putting in print. I don't know what this Chazal said. This Chazal jumps off the page. Whoever said you should put the words of Nevuah in writing? What are the most basic, what you learn, there's a Radak in the beginning of Tanakh. What is the most basic difference between the Sifrei Nevi'im and the Sifrei Kisuv? The Aleph Bey's difference. The answer is, the Sifrei Nevi'im were speeches. You know, famous speeches. You know that book, the whole series, yeah. Art Scroll, Rabbi, what's his name? I know from Chaim Berger. Bamberger. I remember him from Chaim Berger, Rabbi Bamberger. Every time I see him, he's so gears of the Ankusa, he's very kind to me, Rabbi Bamberger. He wrote a lot of Chosh Vassarim. And what is Nevi'im? Nevi'im is speeches. Speeches, dibur, prophecy, niv sifosai. Whoever said Sifrei Nevi'im should be put in writing. If you take a speech and you transcribe it, it doesn't go off well. It doesn't sell well. If it's a speech, it goes on Torah anytime. There's a recording. Speeches are meant to be listened to. You have a good speech, the way you present information in Dibur is not the way you present ideas in writing. If you take a speech and you put it in writing, it's boring. If you have a book and someone gets up and reads the book, it's boring. It doesn't have an impact. Something that is meant to be presented in writing is presented with an entirely different style. something that is meant to be communicated through Dibur is presented in a different style. You cannot mix and match. That's a reality. So what is this doing in print? This should be on CD or a flash drive. This should not be in print. So you'll tell me they didn't have flash drives in those days? It's a problem. So no, so there shouldn't be Sifrei Nevi'im. Sifrei Nevi'im is speeches. Whoever said we should take a speech and put it in book form? You know who said to do it? This pasuk. This is the pasuk that gave us the license to take a speech and to transcribe it onto paper. Vayikasei Sefer Zikaron Lifnav. Who are the Yirei Hashem? The prophets. Who says this? Not me. Chazal say this. Chazal say that the story of Mechias HaMolek is to be presented in three places. The first place, because it says in the Torah, Kesoiv Zois, Zikaroin, and Basefer. The story of Mechias should be written in three places. In Zois, Zois HaTorah, in the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. It shall be written, it shall be recorded in the word Zikaroin. What is Zikaroin? It should be recorded in the books of Zikaroin. So what do we learn? And that's called in the Sifrei Nevi'im. What? We learn indirectly that the reason why the words of prophecy were put into book form is this pasuk. Vayikosev Sefer Zikaroin. The word Zikaroin, Chazal tell us in a different context, refers to the books of the prophets. And this pasuk reveals to us that the Yirei Hashem are the prophets, and they spoke to the Klal Yisrael, they gave them Musar, and Hashem said, Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma. Hashem also was part of the audience of the Nevi'im when they gave them the words of prophecy, and Hashem said, wow, what a speech! What a speech! Put this in book form. Put this in book form. Vayikosev Sefer Zikaroin. And then there's something called Kisuvim. That's not a kasha. Kisuvim were meant, l'chatchila, to be written in book. They were not speeches. Iyov was not a speech. Iyov was written as a book. It was a bestseller. It still is. It's a book. All of Sifrei Kisuvim were l'chatchila written as books. Not, they were not public addresses. That's what we learn here, Bidyamid. Okay, so we come over here with a lot of chidushim. And the best chidush we came away with is something which Tamari aroused us to appreciate, is the number 85. The number 85, that the dilemma, to repeat this chidush, this dilemma, if Megillas Esther should be put as part of the canon, was done by 85 people. Nothing in Chazal is a coincidence. The number 85 in Chamishei Chumshei Torah represents the shleimus of Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Because we learn from the fact that the parsha of Ayhi bin Soyeh Ha'orayim has exactly 85 letters, and it's surrounded by two upside down, two inverted nuns, that it's a Sefer Bifnei Atzmai, and Chazal extrapolate from the 85 letters in Ayhi bin Soyeh to teach us a very critical halacha, that a Sefer Torah retains its sanctity as a Sefer Torah if it has scattered throughout the entire Sefer Torah 85 letters. If you take out a Sefer Torah and all the letters are gone, they disintegrated, all you have is parchment with nothing written on it because the ink wasn't good, and it disappeared, and all you have now, you may have used this Sefer Torah for 1,000 years, you've been leaning from this Sefer Torah. If now the ink just vanished, and there's no Kiddusha whatsoever. But if you can find on this thing 85 letters scattered from Bereshit until the very, very end of the Sefer Torah, then this Sefer Torah, even though it's puzzle, only 85 letters, it retains its Kiddusha. 85, this thing is still Sholeh. So now expand the scope, not just of a Sefer Torah, what is Nichlal in the canon? There are a Mesoira, 24 Sifrei Tanakh is the Shlemus of Tanakh. What is included? What is not included? Megillas Antiochus, out. It's not included. Sefer HaMakabim, Aleph, Sefer HaMakabim, Bey is not included. Rabbi Schneer Lyman, he can go tell you all these other books that are candidates. I remember he used to do one book that he was very fast. I just don't listen to these things anymore. I don't have time and patience anymore to listen to all these incredible chidushim and shiurim. And he had all these, this one particular sefer that he was very, very fascinated with in the Apocrypha, in the Apocrypha. And why isn't it in Tanakh? There's no apikursus. Chazal, they were yoyel, they felt it was not, did not meet their standards. So they didn't include it. The Gemara, long shtickle Gemara, about Sefer Yechezkel. Sefer Yechezkel just barely made it in. And that's one of the Nevi'im. Because Sefer Yechezkel is full of statements that are mamish connected to the Kula. If someone would write that thing today, you wouldn't even get into, they'll hold you by the bridge. They wouldn't even let you come into Flapish. Because this is, they would say the Zapikorsis. And they had to go burn the Minat oil to figure out a solution how we can preserve Sefer Yechezkel. So we're coming now to decide if Megillas Esther should be part of the canon. It was precisely the number 85. Because 85 represents the Kedusha, exactly. You said it better. It represents the Kedusha of Tanakh. Just like it represents the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah, the Sefer retained its Kedusha, to be a member, a card-carrying member of the canon, you need a unique sanctity. It could be a very holy Sefer. No one's denying that some of these other books are very holy, written by very holy people, but it didn't make it to the degree of Kedusha that is necessary to be nichlal in the canon. And you know, you have the source even with the Talmud Bavli. You know, the Talmud Bavli. We only have 36 mesachtas. Why isn't there a mesachta on most of Zeruim? Why isn't there there are no mesachtas and a whole bunch of mesachtas? There are 61 mesachtas approximately. 61, 62, 63, all depends how you want to count. How come we only have in the Bavli 36? And even that's not 100% complete. No one ever wrote anything? It's not necessarily true. It could very well be that there were things written on other mesachtas that I'm missing. It didn't make it. It did not have the caliber that was acceptable to the compilers. Mainly it was a very long read the history. I really want one day, I'm not joking, I really one day want to go through the article published. They published this volume that is beyond belief, the introduction to the Talmud. Okay, they published, took them out after, and they pulled in Hebrew and in English. And they have that volume is a masterpiece beyond belief. And they have there sort of the letter of Shreira Goyin. Rav Shreira Goyin is good. One day we should sit down and we should read together, spend a couple of days going through word by word some of the teshuva of Rav Shreira Goyin, where he lays out some of the most fundamental historical periods of time that, if not for him telling us this, we would never know. And there's some things that are very, very beautiful there. And maybe one day we have, but Baruch Shem, these are critical, and they'll say in by all these intellectuals, there's a critical, it's like a critical edition. Yeah, footnotes that take to task every single word. There are some critical footnotes that expand and elaborate on the depth of what he wrote there, which preserved the history of the writing of the Talmud, what got in, what did not get in, who made the edits, who made the final decisions, and how it all came out. And here you have a little taste of this. You have a very geschmack taste of this with these 85 Zikanim, Umehem Shloishim, the Kama Nevi'im, Shloishim, and what's this mean? Umehem Shloishim, the Chava Nevi'im, what does that mean? 30 and some? I don't know what this expression even means. 30 and some? What does that mean exactly? 30 Nevi'im. It means approximately. You're saying, Shloishim v'chama means approximate. That's the way Chazal say approximately. Shloishim v'chama. Approximately. The word chama means approximately 30. Okay. 30 Nevi'im that deliberated. Because the same way they deliberated about this, they deliberated later about what gets into the Bavli. They had in front of them quite a bit of material. What should be included in the Talmud Bavli? Talmud Bavli, you know, it was edited over and over and over again until it came to a Chasima. The Rabbanan Savaroi, they made probably some of the final decisions. Some want to even say the Go'oinim, the generation before Rashi, even they made maybe some edits.
There's a lot of different things. I'm trying to remember the whole thing over there. This one.
Ravina and Rav Ashi died pretty early in the process.
The original Shas didn't have Gemara Rashi on the side.
Of course not.
Gemara Rambam. They had originally Gemara Rambam, not Rashi. But they, what do you call it? There's one halacha, and I can't remember what, that they asked, there's a difference in halacha between the Yerushalmi and the Babli, and the Mepharshim on it say that what their opinion was, that had they known what the Yerushalmi said, they wouldn't be possible in the way they did. They just
really?
didn't know
the Yerushalmi.
They didn't know what the Yerushalmi
said. That's
a
fascinating thing to say.
And it says that they didn't know the Yerushalmi. They wouldn't have said what
they
said.
Okay, that's a fascinating thing to say. That's a shocking thing to say that. I've never heard something like that.
Yeah.
Look, we got a taste of it yesterday when we said, Kol Mashi Yoimuchal Albayis, Kol Mashi Yoimuchal Albayis Asay, and there are two more words, Chutz Mitzay. And the vast majority of the commentaries say those words were not part of the original Talmud Bavli. When Ravina and Rav Ashi, and even later generations, the Amoraim that edited, and even Rabban Salvaroy, that was not part of the original edition. That somehow was inserted at a later point in time. Who did that? Who made that decision? Okay, there are a lot of things like this. Okay, we're going to stop here. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to learn. I will learn after the break. I want to learn the sugya, very nice sugya, again from that fantastic sefer from Rabbi Brown's grandson, Shama Halacha Azari. He presents in a very beautiful way the sugya of Ha'oisek b'mitzvah, Potter min ha'mitzvah. How could it be when Avram was talking to Hashem, he was so rude to say to Hashem, excuse me, Hashem, there's something more important. I have to entertain some what appears to be idolaters. I have some idolaters who have arrived at my doorstep. They want to extend my car warranty. I have to attend to them before I can continue talking to you.
But that's if they think that God is really talking there, it's great.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Ha'oseg b'mitzvah, Potter min ha'mitzvah.
Today is the outside of the Hazoi
Nishon. He's asking a very tough question. It's a tough question. This is a Masaira. It comes, the question, I said this year. What came first, chicken or the egg?
Right.
Did they deliberate for generations and generations, while two, and then when they finally finished everything, they count, oh, look at that. After everything is said and done, it turns out we have 24. It could have been 30, it could have been 40, right. It could have been 20. They deliberated without any number in their head at all. And at the end of the day, when they finished, they decided these didn't have to be. And now they are 24. Is that the pshat? And now, oh, look how well it works out. Because in Sefer Yeshaya, we find the Kala, he describes there, she was wearing 24 different ornaments. Is that the pshat? Or is the pshat no? When they deliberated, is the pshat that they had a tradition in Sinai? Is the pshat the other way? They had a tradition, halacha l'moishim in Sinai, there has to be 24. And now the question was, which one do we push out? I don't know the answer. What is it? Is it that was not a factor, the number 24? That's just a tally that we do after all the dust settles. After all the dust settles, okay, let's count. Oh, there are 24, very nice. So now we'll work backwards. Oh, look how nice. All the gematrias happened to work out so nice. If it didn't work out, we'll make other gematrias. Everything worked out. Or no, we Sinai, there's a number 24, and this is how it has to be. You'd have to say, like everything else, they're both correct. It's Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. It has to be, that's usually the approach to these type of things. All right, I'll take a short break.